Welcome to the Delek Group's Results Conference Call. If you have not yet received a copy of the financial results, please find them on the company's website at www.delek-group.com. Before we start, I would like to refer you to the company's safe harbor statement. Some of the information that we are providing during this conference call may include forward-looking statements. There are various important factors that may cause the company's actual results to differ significantly from those set forth in the forward-looking statements. This conference call does not replace the need to review the company's periodic and quarterly reports, which include the full information about the company, including information that is considered forward-looking statements as defined in the U.S. federal securities laws. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. I would now like to hand over the call to Ms. Dina Vince, Delek Group Investor Relations Manager. Ms. Vince, would you like to begin?
Thank you, operator. I would like to welcome all of you to Delek Group's conference call to review our third quarter 2015 results. I'd also like to welcome Mr. Gadi Lutz, Chairman, Mr. Assi Broadfeld, President and CEO, Mr. Barak Mashraki, CFO, Mrs. Liora Pratt-Levine, Delek Group's General Counsel, and Mr. Gil Bashan, our Chief Analyst, who are here with me today on the call. Following the summary of the results, we will all be available to answer any questions. An English translation of the results is available on our website. I will now provide a brief summary only. In terms of some of our highlights, the Tamar field reached peak production of natural gas in the quarter. As a result, the E&P sector contributed 87 million shekels to the group's net income in the third quarter of 2015, more than double the 38 million shekel in the same period last year. Operating profit in the third quarter of 2015 totaled 341 million shekel, compared with 240 million shekel in the same period last year. This was mainly due to increased contributions from the E&P sector, as well as the fuel operations segment in Israel. Even though we reported a high level of operating profit, we recorded a non-recurring impairment of 336 million shekel for an accounting reduction in our traded financial portfolio. As a result of this one-time amortization, the group recorded a net loss of 261 million shekel in the third quarter. Excluding this one-off impairment, net income would have amounted to approximately 75 million shekel in the quarter. Since the end of September, we recorded gains in the traded financial portfolio. However, I should note that this profit will not be recorded in the P&L until we actually sell the shares. I should also note that over the third quarter period, Delek Group received 45 million shekel in dividends from these holdings. Delek Group continues to take advantage of opportunities in the international energy market. In October, we acquired a stake in Ithaca Energy, and beyond that, we continue to examine further strategic investments in the E&P field. The group's cash balance as of November 26, 2015, remains strong at 2.1 billion shekel, including our unutilized credit line. Finally, our board of directors approved a dividend distribution to shareholders of 80 million shekels for the quarter. Reviewing our upstream business, Tamar produced a record 2.5 BCM in the third quarter. In addition, Tamar sold 117,000 barrels of condensate in the quarter. Despite the increase of 47% compared to Tamar's first year Q3 production in 2013, this high level of sales still does not meet the full gas demand in the Israeli market, which was filled by the import of liquefied natural gas and fossil fuels. In terms of developments in the upstream business, earlier this month, Noble Energy sold half of its rights in Aphrodite in Cyprus to BG International, which we believe will be a strong partner to promote its development together with our gas subsidiaries, Delek Drilling and Avnera Oil Exploration, each of which holds 15% of the rights. Similarly, earlier this month, our gas subsidiary signed $67 million agreement with Noble, which provides the rights to our subsidiaries to sell Noble's rights in the Karish and Tanin licenses together with their own rights. This agreement is contingent on the final and unconditional approval by the Israeli government of the gas framework, which I will discuss in a few moments, and on approval by a meeting of the unit holders in the partnership. Less than 2 weeks ago, a letter of intent was signed between the Leviathan Partners and Delfinus Holdings. We're now negotiating an agreement for the supply of 4 BCM per year from Leviathan using an existing gas pipeline operated by EMG. To remind you, we have already signed an agreement with EMG from the Tamar field for the supply of up to 250,000 MMBtu per day, which is expected to start in the second half of 2016. Our discussions with Delfinus is an important indicator and a milestone, paving the way for further international contracts and collaboration in the Eastern Mediterranean region. Now, with regard to the developments on the regulatory front, the Ministerial Committee for National Security, the Israeli government, and the Knesset approved the framework calling for increasing natural gas production at the Tamar field and accelerated development of the Leviathan, Karish, Tanin, and other natural gas fields. Furthermore, on November 5th, it was announced that the Israeli Prime Minister, acting as the Minister of Economy, announced his intention to use powers granted under Section 52 of the antitrust law to sidestep the antitrust authority. As we understand it, the Prime Minister is currently consulting formally with the Economic Committee, and we expect that the next step will be to obtain the final approval by the government. Finally, with regard to the group's strategic decision to explore synergistic and operational investments in international upstream E&P companies, in October 2015, we acquired 19.9% of the share capital of Ithaca Energy for $66 million. Ithaca is an independent oil and gas operator focused on North Sea production and development. Ithaca is a partner in 11 producing oil and gas fields, in 3 of which it acts as the operator. Ithaca's shares are traded on the Toronto Stock Exchange and on the AIM Exchange in London. Delek Group is entitled to 2 places on its board of directors, the group's president and CEO, Assi Bartold, and our subsidiary Delek Drilling CEO, Yossi Abu, were appointed to these positions. In the group's financial statements, Ithaca will be presented based on the equity method of accounting, commencing in the fourth quarter this year. Turning to our downstream business, Delek Israel, our local Israeli gas station company, saw an improvement and contributed 21 million shekel to our net income in the quarter, compared with a net loss of 5 million shekel last year. The growth was due to increased sales, but partially offset by lower margins on several products. With regard to our divestitures of our assets in the insurance sector, we continue the sales process of our 52% stake in Phoenix to Fosun International. In addition, we signed an agreement with M-Trust Financial Services to sell our remaining 66% holding in Republic for $140 million. We're very pleased with this development, which occurred earlier than expected. In summary, developments in the third quarter, as well as our operating results, demonstrate the successful execution of our strategy to focus our operations and on the exploration and production of oil and gas. This can be seen by the strong increase in our earnings from this sector, the strategic and synergistic investments we're making in the sector, such as that of Ithaca Energy, as well as the divestitures of non-core assets, such as those in the insurance sector. In addition, our sector is becoming more attractive, as we can see, by the entrance of major player, BG International into the Aphrodite field in Cyprus. Finally, the regulatory hurdles that have been in the way over the past few quarters now seem to be clearing, and we believe that we're finally at the inflection point for strong growth ahead. And with that, if there are any questions, we will all be happy to take them now. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled up in order that they are received. Please stand by while we pull your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dina. Thanks for taking my question, and thanks for the presentation. A few questions, please. First, I was wondering if you could give us a bit more color on the regulation side. It was my understanding that the Prime Minister now got all the powers to approve the framework. So why do you think it's taking so long? And what would be your expected timing on that?
Okay, I will answer you. The Prime Minister has the full authority, but he has to advise with the commission from the parliament, from the Knesset, economic commission. I don't know if you know, but last week and this week, they have discussions about it. And at the end of the day, they don't have to, the Prime Minister don't need the full, his decision will be approved in the commission. He has the authority to sign without approving by the commission. But he has to wait until they will finish their discussions. So we believe it will take more, a couple of weeks, 2 weeks or so. And after that, we hope we can launch the vital procedure. Maybe there will be some organization which will appeal to the court or Supreme Court, we will see. But we hope that in the next months we'll be behind it.
Okay, that's very helpful. The second question, I saw the announcement of Noble selling to you the rights for Tanin and Karish. I was wondering if you're already looking for a buyer, and how's the search going?
Yes, we are looking, but first of all, we have to wait until everything will be approved, and we will sign an agreement with the government, with the regulators, with all the regulators, antitrust, for example. But the idea is that Noble and Delek has to sell Tanin and Karish in 14 months after they be signed. So we started. We believe that it will be much more easier to sell 100%, and not every one of the owners will try to find by himself a buyer. So that's the reason we make this movement.
Yeah, I understand. And the last one, you announced the investment in Ithaca during the quarter. Can you give a bit more color? Is that more like a financial investment because you identified like an undervalued company, or it's more you expect Ithaca to be a strategic partner going forward?
No, definitely Ithaca was for us not a financial investment. It's absolutely a strategic one because we announced a lot of times that we would like to be involved in a, or to be the owner or controlling company which has the capability to be an operator, that has the know-how to drill and to operate a field. So we don't want to be dependent only on foreigners, operators. And the idea is that maybe in our portfolio we have one that we will control the company. Of course, now we have only a stake of 20% of the shares, but still we would like to increase our involvement in the company. We would like to have more shares in the company. So I don't know when it will happen, but the idea is to be, that will be a strategic partner for us or investment. And we're looking, seeking for other company also. Maybe we don't. Maybe in the company which is involved in the Gulf of Mexico, because Ithaca until now is operating only in the North Sea, in Europe. So it's absolutely not a financial investment.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Daniel Wasserman of Banca Pallini. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Could you please give us some more detail of what caused the losses on your traded financial portfolio?
Mark, maybe you?
Yes. Yes. Can you please, Daniel, can you please repeat
Yeah.
the question?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, sir.
What was the cause of, or some more detail on the losses you had in your portfolio of traded financial instruments?
Okay. So in general, we have a total amount of financial investment of around 1 billion, which we are, the accounting treatment is that the changes in the value of this portfolio went directly to the capital reserve, to the shareholders' equity. And since the erosion or the decrease in the value was for more than 9 months and for a portion which was higher than, in our case, than 30%, we needed to reflect it in our P&L, so we made a one-time write-off of this financial portfolio to the P&L. Which, as Dina said before, we will reevaluate it again just when and if we are going to sell this paper, which means that from now on, increase in the value of this portfolio will go also directly to the shareholders' equity and not through the P&L, unless we are going to sell it off and to get the money instead of the portfolio.
Okay, but are we talking about companies in the energy sector, or are we talking about more, are we talking about equity, fixed income?
Mainly shares of a company in the energy sector.
And could you give us some more color on that? What kind of companies? What?
No, unfortunately not, because it's not something, information that we published. But I can tell you that in general, there is no one investment that reflects a material amount that we should have reported on. So unfortunately, we didn't disclose it, so I cannot go in detail to the names of the companies in the portfolio.
Okay, but it's equity? You hold equity in a company or a fixed income?
Equity, not. We have a small minor of portfolio of fixed income, but most of the portfolio that we are currently discussing is equity in the energy sector.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is from Rafael Gutaj of Bank of America of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Sorry, we can't hear you, Rafael.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ah, much better. Sorry. So just the question was around the proceeds from the sale of the Phoenix Group. And once that's completed, I was just wondering kind of what the proceeds would be used for. Is that mainly to shore up the balance sheet further, or would you be looking to use those proceeds towards further M&A following on from your Ithaca stake build?
Again, you asked about the Phoenix procedure?
The profit from the sale of the Phoenix. I think that it's too early. I think that it's too early to speak about it. But for sure, it's when we will finalize the transaction. We are talking about material profits, which will decrease. As you said, will show the balance sheet, will decrease the debt. But of course, we said it, and this is part of the strategy of the group. If there will be opportunities in the energy, we are not going to buy additional insurance company for sure. But if there will be attractive opportunities in the energy sector, there might be a chance that a portion from this profit will go for this use.
Okay, and just following on that point, would you say that the international kind of EMP community or the current equities reflect kind of spot prices, or do you still think that broadly speaking the space is overvalued?
Wow. Yeah, Rafael, if you knew, you see, when we invested in our financial portfolio in the energy sector, we thought that this is the bottom, and from now on, you know, it will only increase. But we do believe that the opportunities are there. Unfortunately, we do know also that the sellers are not there yet, but we have time. and we have money, and hopefully with the profit of the Phoenix, we'll have additional money in our pockets. And it's difficult to say. We don't know if, you know, if this is the bottom of the market or. But from our point of view, you saw we acquired 20% in Ithaca, and we said, and as Asi said before, the strategy of the group is to look and search for additional opportunities.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Catherine Hunter of IHS. Please go ahead.
Hello, all. Thank you for the presentation so far. I was wondering if I could bring you back to Aphrodite and perhaps ask you about sort of what the plans are in view of BG's farming, and particularly whether, you know, the Egypt pipeline is still on the cards, whether it will still go through one of the three routes you're looking at, and whether there's any option potentially for export, onward export through the Idku LNG facility.
Okay, I'll take the question. Look, the Aphrodite deal happened last week, so it's a little premature. But the idea is that the British Gas, or then next month, I guess, there will be Shell. They will be our partners. They will be one of the major partners that will take care about this reservoir. And I cannot speak on behalf of them, but I guess the idea is because they owned also an LNG plant in Egypt, and Aphrodite is too big for the local market in Cyprus, so most of the natural gas we go will export. And the idea is, I guess, to use the Egyptian market together with our reservoir Leviathan to support the local market, to support the local market in Egypt, and also for export via the energy plan in Egypt.
Thank you. So just a quick follow-up, would that mean that there would be potentially a joint development plan for Leviathan and Aphrodite, or could Aphrodite move ahead by itself?
Again, it's a little premature. I'm not sure it would be, it cannot go together, you know. Leviathan is under the Israeli law, Aphrodite is under the Cyprus law, and of course everyone has to take care and fulfill the obligation for the government, the license was given there. So, but maybe in the future, still, after Nobel, after BG will be a full partner, and British and Nobel will give us all the plans for develop Leviathan and Aphrodite, we get the decision. But until now, they're separate reservoirs, separate fields. We will see in the future what will happen.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Bartfeld for his concluding statement, I would like to remind the participants that a replay of this call will be available on Delek Group website, www.delek-group.com. Mr. Bartfeld, would you like to make a concluding statement?
Yes, I would like to thank everyone that was on the line. And of course, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call us, and as you're doing most of the year, and we'll be happy to answer, give you all the answers. So have a good evening, and thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes Delek Group's third quarter 2015 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.